Are you thinking about starting your own cash practice? Maybe you've already started your own practice and you're starting to realize that there's a lot to learn when it comes to business. We can be great clinicians, but if we don't understand the business side of having our own practice, we're going to have a hard time being successful in business. Guys, I wrote a book for you and I took everything that I've learned over the last 5 years of running a successful cash practice here in Atlanta, and I put it in this book, and I gave you everything that you need to be able to start and scale that practice past yourself. That book is called Fuck Insurance, and if you don't like the title, the book is not for you. If you do like the title, it's the exact book that you need to be reading right now. I show you exactly how to start. I show you what's important when it comes to marketing, when it comes to sales, when it comes to operations, and what stage you're actually at in the business, you know, where you're at, what you need to focus on while you're there, and how to get to the next stage. I'm trying to set it up in a way where you can get some clarity in your business. And the book for now is 100% free. All you have to do is go to finsurancebook.com. That's finsurancebook.com and get your free copy of the book that I wrote specifically to help you be successful in business. The book is free. All you got to do is pay for it to get to your door so that I don't lose my shirt on giving everybody all these books and sending them around the world. And again, head to finsurancebook.com. Learn how to run a successful cash practice today. So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name is Danny Matei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. Hey, what's going on, guys? Doc Danny here with the PT Entrepreneur Podcast, and I got super inspired today by another podcast from a friend of mine, Shante Cofield, aka the Movement Maestro. She's a badass. I'm sure many of you listen to her podcast as well, Maestro on the Mic. It's awesome. If you don't, you should totally go check it out. And I'll give you a little context with this, what was going on. So today is a work from home day for me, which basically is knocking out a bunch of deliverables for content, for planning, for marketing stuff for our local business. And then we have our mastermind fall event coming up November 3rd, 4th, and 5th here in Atlanta. And we're going to have just around 70 people, plus or minus one or two, here in Atlanta. And so there's a lot of stuff that we have to make sure is ready to go, is lined up, organized for everybody, the curriculum that we're taking them through, just the things around it. You know, like we're taking everybody to Topgolf Sunday night, and then we're taking everybody out to this place called Punch Bowl Social on Monday night, which is like an adult Chuck E. Cheese, basically. It's going to be a lot of fun. Anytime you get to hang out with, you know, 70 performance-based clinicians that also are in business for themselves and be able to, you know, teach them the things that are working currently, best practices, guest presenters. We've got Brett Bartholomew coming in, which is going to be awesome. He's just such a dynamic presenter and his content is great. This is a sales and marketing specific event. So anyway, I'm planning a bunch of stuff for that. And I took a break to walk my dog, Teddy. And while I did, I listened to Shante's podcast, and I listened to her Timeline podcast, which I thought was so good. And I thought, you know what, I should do something like this as well. I've actually done something similar in a local business group that I'm in, a little bit different. We had to kind of talk about really like positive and negative things that happened to us when we were like growing up, and not so much from the business standpoint, but they were kind of digging into you as a person, which was incredibly difficult, by the way. That was a hard thing, I think, for everybody to do. But Shante's was a lot about her timeline leading to where she is now, you know, where she went from a staff clinician to then starting to teach for Rock Tape, you know, going into practice for herself, realizing she didn't want to do that and that she really enjoyed the teaching side more. And then starting, you know, her social media platforms and her podcasts, and then having her own courses and both digital and in person. And it was great. Because, you know, when you're in it, it's kind of hard for you to see the things that are happening. But when you take a step back and you're like, wow, that was super impactful. Like that was, I'm really fortunate that that happened to me, you know, and I really learned a lot from this one experience, and it is hard in the moment, but looking back can be really profound. And you can have a lot of gratitude associated with that, you know, with people that have helped you in the past and being able to recognize that. And that's something that I wanted to be able to do today as well. And so I jotted down just some things that happened to me leading up to me, deciding to leave the military and start my own practice. And looking back, it's funny how, you know, some of these things I didn't really think at the time were that important or were that beneficial. They were, and they led me, you know, down this path of getting to where I am today. So, shout out to Shante. Thanks for the, you know, for the motivation, and the idea. I give her 100% credit. And I believe Jimmy McKay, also had her do something like that for some, she was presenting. So shout out to him too, PT Pintcast. If you don't listen to that, you got to, he's a stud. So anyway, I'm gonna get into my timeline, and I'm going to start, I'm going to go for a period of time when I was in PT school to when I decided to get out of the military. So for those of you that don't know, I went to the U.S. Army Baylor program, and that's in San Antonio, Texas. You're a commissioned officer when you go to school. So you go to what's called officer basic course, you know, before you start your PT program. And it's basically like, you know, a watered down basic training, you know, primarily for medical officers, which is what I went to, which was cool too. Like, it was fun. It was actually a lot of fun learning how to do land navigation and go to the shooting range and, you know, just playing like we're in the military, you know, but really we were there to go to physical therapy school. So that was fun. And just learning this, just some cool, you know, front end medical skills, you know, with trauma and triaging things and things that we might have used, you know, at some point, depending on where you ended up. But after that, you know, we went through our didactic phase. And the way that Baylor does it is that you spend your last year in clinic, primarily an orthopedic, you know, outpatient clinic. And they don't have enough spaces in the hospitals, the military hospitals around there. So some of us had to go to civilian clinics. And, you know, so you spend almost 12 months, I think it's a total of 10 months in a outpatient ortho clinic, and then 2 months bouncing around between like a short neuro rotation and a short inpatient rotation and some electives. But really most of it is, you know, they know what your job is going to be. It's not going to be neuro. It's going to be musculoskeletal kind of sports medicine injuries you're going to see in the military population with young soldiers that are active. And I got placed in a clinic in New Braunfels, Texas, which for those of you that are not familiar with Texas, New Braunfels is, you know, just northeast of San Antonio. And it's actually a really interesting town. It's a, it's like a German retirement, epicenter for the U.S. There's a ton of, you know, German people there, and, it looks like a little German village. And, you know, they just, it's a cool little town, and there's a bunch of cool little restaurants and stuff. And, the place where I got, basically assigned for my internship was at Texas Physical Therapy Specialist in New Braunfels, Texas, with my intern director being Andrew Bennett. So some of you might know Andrew Bennett. He's heavily involved in Evidence in Motion with Texas Physical Therapy Specialist, which is now called Confluent Healthcare, I believe. They merged with a number of other clinics, and Andrew's an incredibly savvy business owner for sure. He is somebody that I think he and I butted heads quite a bit with when you know, when I was a an intern, and you know, I think we had a lot of things in common, similarities, and I think we had a lot of, you know, differences as well. But I respect the hell out of Andrew in terms of him as a clinician, him as a dad, and a spouse, and as a business owner. And, you know, I've seen him in multiple settings. And he's just a good person. And, you know, when we've had our first feedback, at this internship, I remember it very well. Two of my classmates were there, as well, that were, you know, in school with me that had got assigned there as well. Pat Casey, who's out now, and he works with Vertex, physical therapy specialist in South Carolina. And Rachel Snell, who is still in the military, actually. And we went to a restaurant that was just down the strip mall, basically, from where the clinic was. And we went in, he bought us a beer, and he drank his really fast. I wouldn't say chug it, but it was close. Like, he drank his beer really, really fast. And the feedback was short and it was very concise. So he finished his beer really quickly, sets it down, looks at, I believe it was Pat first. He goes, Pat, to something to the effect of, you don't know how to communicate with people. And then he goes to Rachel. He goes, Rachel, you're the most frustrating intern I've ever had. And then he looks at me and he goes, Danny, you're arrogant. And he walked out right after that, walked right out of the restaurant. And I remember sitting there and we kind of all looked at each other and I was like, the hell, did that just happen? Like, I was pretty mad. And they were all confused and we would carpool with each other because it wasn't that close. And it was just sort of an awkward drive home. and the next day he had set aside time for us to be, you know, individually talk with him and really spend about 20 minutes with him talking about the feedback. But man, he just dropped something on us and then let it fester. And I've actually never seen this sort of technique before. I've never used it, but it was effective regardless. And the next day, when it was my turn to meet with him, I mean, I didn't handle it well. I wasn't very happy about the feedback. And, you know, he pulled me in his office and he basically said, like, look, he goes, Dan, I think that you have, you know, all the drive, skill set, intelligence to be really good in this career and be a good military officer. And Andrew, by the way, was in the Air Force. So it's sort of a special understanding, I would say, of where we were going and what we were doing. And he said, but you cannot interact with people the way that you do, where it makes them feel like you feel like you know everything and that you talk down to them and it comes off as arrogant. And he gave me a book. It's called The Go-Giver, which is a very small book. It's not a very big book at all. It would only take you maybe a day to read. And I didn't read it for like a month. And part of it was, I just was, you know, at the time, I wasn't very old, first of all. You know, I was in my early 20s and I took what he was saying and it hit me really hard and in a way where it made me angry and it made me really frustrated. But eventually, you know, I took what he said and I really took it to heart and I changed a lot of things in terms of what he was talking about. And I'm very thankful that I did, to be honest with you, because he was 100% right. And you know, when you let your ego get in the way, and it's something to this day, I check myself on this as much as I possibly can. My wife does a great job of checking me on this. Everybody in our company checks me on this. I feel like even my kids, just not let your ego get in the way of what you're trying to do and realize the way that you communicate with people, the way you interact with people is incredibly important. And I read the book and the book was great. It's super impactful book. Sometimes, you know, you get a book or you hear a podcast or something and it hits you like right at the right time with the right message. And it's something that's very impactful. And that book, was huge for me. And it really set me on this sort of path of reading personal development books. Like, that was the first one I read. I'm 200 plus deep at this point with, you know, personal development and business books, that I've read, you know, since then and listened to. I will say those are audible books too. So I'm not going to claim that I read all those, but that started it. And I talked to him afterward and he, you know, I think he also noticed something in me that was that I had an interest in business. I had an interest in how things ran. You know, we sit at meetings and most people just, they didn't care. You know, they'd be like, all right, this is how many emails we had. This is the, whatever we had. This is the metrics we had. And I'd be like, man, what's the math on this? You know, I'd start looking at this and I'd start looking at roles that people had and ways that they were being trained and where they fit in the business. And, you know, even he's somebody that even, you know, told me when we left, he was like, hey, if you ever decide you want to get out, like, let me know because, you know, I'd like to keep in touch about that. And, you know, for whatever reason, you know, he saw something in me that was right. You know, this desire to want to do something within a private sector in the entrepreneur realm and go down that rabbit hole. And you know, he's the first person that ever kind of, I would say, fostered that somewhat, but a lot of it was tough love. And And that was big for me. So that was in 2009. So 2009, this is a year before I graduated in 2010. Now in 2010, we graduated. I get sent out to Schofield Barracks. And my first assignment is at the Schofield Barracks Troop Medical Clinic there. And my boss was Carrie Storer. And Carrie, she's still in the Army. I actually saw her recently. She stayed with us. She brought her daughter with her up here to Atlanta to go to a Shawn Mendes concert, and they stayed with us, and it was super cool catching up with her and her daughter. And daughter's like way bigger obviously than, or she was tiny whenever we were out in Hawaii. But Carrie was great, because you know, sometimes you have bosses that are just awful. They micromanage you. They don't see things you're interested in and let you kind of explore those. She was the complete opposite. She basically was like, look, you seem really interested in learning, in particular about movement and the strength and conditioning side of things. And she basically let me just dive headfirst into the kind of movement and mobility and strength and conditioning side of things that I was really fascinated with, and treat patients that way, set my schedule up in a way where I could actually go out and I could teach strength and conditioning classes with our in-house strength coach, Neil Santiago, was awesome. Like, I learned a ton from him, and be able to actually go to like to the gym with soldiers and do these like small group work and do, you know, training and lifting technique and change the way that we did some of these mandatory classes, government classes, where, you know, we'd get people that were overweight and they didn't meet the height and weight standards. So they had to go to these classes to learn a PowerPoint presentation on how to exercise. And I remember one day I just decided, I don't want to go through this presentation anymore. I don't want to stand up here and talk to you about exercise for 2 hours from a PowerPoint that was given to me from, you know, Department of Defense. And everybody's like falling asleep, you know, in this boring presentation. I hated doing it. And so finally I said, look, I'm not going to go through this. We're going to the gym. So grab your shit. We're going to the gym. It's like middle of the day on like a Thursday. And we showed up, we went through all kinds of stuff, like simple things about how to move better, you know, deadlift technique, had them do some simple body weight stuff, things they could mix in on their own, some mobility work. Had about 20 people in there. And I think I could have gotten in quite a bit of trouble for something like that, but I didn't, you know, because she went to bat for me, let me do things like that because, you know, she just saw that it was something that I was interested in. It was something that she felt could help with the clinic and allowed me to really go down the interest that I had. And that was huge. And that was 2010 when I really started to become obsessive, I guess is probably the best word, to describe what I was trying to learn. And eventually that led me to being able to go to San Francisco to the next person on my list and spend time in San Francisco CrossFit with Kelly Storette and his coaches. And Kelly was and has been a huge influence on me. And I think for many of us as well, and this could be just, you know, from videos or from books that he's written. I'm fortunate I have an opportunity to have a personal relationship with him and have had to spend a good bit of, or been able to spend a good bit of time around him. But in 2011, I reached out to San Francisco CrossFit, and in particular, Juliette Storette, his wife, is the one that answered a call. Straight cold call, called their gym. They had a gym in a parking lot behind a sporting goods store, and they had like a phone that they'd somehow rigged up into a Connex box, like a storage box for equipment. And just randomly, she was there. She answered the phone. I told her, I said, like, look, hey, here's what I'm doing. I'm a military, you know, PT. I'm really implementing a lot of sort of strength and conditioning and movement based concepts. You guys seem to have a lot of stuff figured out. Can I come out and just hang at the gym for like a few days and just see how you guys are implementing stuff in your group classes? And she was like, yeah, for sure. You know, come on out. Just let us know when you're going to be here. And it was super informal. So I show up. I don't know where the gym is because I thought it was actually a physical location, like a building. And it wasn't. It was in a parking lot behind the sporting goods store in the Presidio. I think it's the Sports Basement, I believe is what it's called. And it was right next to where they had all these boats stored and the loading docks for the sporting goods store. And I actually went in the sporting goods store and asked them where the gym was. And they basically had me go through the building, through the back door, and then out into the loading dock area. And I walked down to the gym. And I spent 5 days there with, you know, their entire coaching staff. And it was awesome. It was just like a trial by fire, first of all, because I was training like three times a day with different classes that they were doing, just kind of learning as I went. And, you know, the other side of that that was really cool was the fact that, like, I mean, it sounds weird, but I didn't really get much time to spend with Kelly because he was doing the edits to his book, which was actually probably the best thing, because I spent so much time with his coaches learning how they implemented things and the trickle down effect from what they had taught him, that I was able to take a lot of those things and implement them with my, you know, with my soldiers quickly when I got back. But, you know, I did get a chance to spend a few hours, you know, with them, doing programming, and just those couple hours of how they looked at programming, how they looked at skill acquisition, how they looked at training. It's just very different than what most CrossFit gyms were doing at the time and most CrossFit gyms that I'd been exposed to. And there was such an element of movement efficiency and movement training and you know, programming with a purpose that it really blew me away and started a relationship, you know, between Kelly and I, where eventually, you know, he asked me to come on as an instructor for a Time Mobility Wad. Now it's called the Ready State. But, and that happened, you know, I met them in 2011. You know, I went back to my brigade, started implementing stuff, collected some data, sent it back to them so they could see, you know, the impact that it was having, the positive things that we were showing. You know, and Kelly was super excited to have some data on what they were doing, implemented in a fairly large group. So reached out to me, asked me if he thought I would, you know, our brigade would be interested in him teaching a day whenever he was out there teaching Saturday, Sunday in a couple CrossFit gyms. So he's coming in on a Friday to teach for our brigade, and it was great. So he taught a private course for our brigade. We had about 40 or 50 people there. He asked me if I could, you know, kind of co-instruct some of the parts of that, sort of help him out, because they were, you know, my soldiers and medics, and then asked me if I was interested in tagging along the rest of the weekend. And of course I said yes. And, you know, and that just sort of led to us staying in touch. And then in the following year at the Northern California Regionals for CrossFit, I was there with a CrossFit team, CrossFit 808, as their team doc, and we ran into each other again randomly. You know, I didn't know if he was going to be there or not. I didn't reach out to them. I was working with the team, bumped into each other, and, you know, he basically said, "Hey, I'm building our team up. I think you'd be a great fit. If you're interested, you know, let me know." And that's the way that, you know, the sort of transition for me into teaching, happened, was really out of just like selfishness, wanting to get better at this stuff and teach my brigade this, not out of wanting to become an instructor. I never really had any desire to do that, but when I did, it was something that I really enjoyed. And, you know, fast forward a little bit from there, you know, the Army decided, you know, it was time for us to leave. So they moved us to Columbus, Georgia, down to Fort Benning. I had 1 year left on my contract. And I was debating on whether I wanted to actually get out or if I wanted to just teach on the side and stay in. And, you know, there was another person there. It's the last person I'm gonna reference. And it was Jeremy Hauser, who is a professor now. And at the time, he was a partner in a contract company that contracted employees for or contracted PTs for the military base. So he also was a contractor, even though he owned part of the company, and he was great. He, you know, he's just a super cool guy. Like, he was getting his PhD at the time. He was learning about acupuncture. He was just all over the place, and he was a really, really smart clinician, but very entrepreneurial. He would always come up with, like, we'd sit down for lunch and he'd be like, "Hey, what do you think about this idea? What do you think about that?" And I'm like, "Ah, that's awesome, man. I'm thinking about doing this, or thinking about doing this," or he'd be like, "Where do you want to be, you know, in like 5 years? What do you think you're going to be doing?" And, you know, I'm just very fortunate that we got placed in the same clinic, you know, together, and that we had an opportunity to become friends. And I would say, you know, he's definitely one of the people that was sort of the last straw for me. Of, "Hey man, I don't think I can do this anymore. You know, I see my path forward. I know what it looks like. I know what a assistant chief of a clinic looks like. I know what a clinic director looks like, or a clinic chief looks like. I know what it looks like when I'm a major, lieutenant colonel, and I don't like it, you know, and I don't want to do that." And yet most people feel obligated because they're sort of pot committed, and there's a lot of benefits. You know, there's retirement, there's healthcare for life. There's a lot of things that keep you around. But when you know, when you're just not content with what you are doing from a day-to-day basis, you have to make a change, you know? And, you know, Jeremy was somebody that was very impactful on my decision to eventually decide to leave, you know, the Army and go into business for myself, for Athlete's Potential. And 2014, summer of 2014, the whole family moved to Atlanta. You know, we started the practice in a windowless room of a CrossFit gym in a part of town that wasn't so nice. and, you know, five and some change years later, we're still here. You know, we're still doing what we do. We're still helping people, you know, move better, live active, meaningful lives. You know, we kind of view ourselves as extenders of active lives, extenders of healthy, you know, experiences with people and their families. And that's what gets us up every morning. That's what gets us excited about connecting with people and helping them achieve their goals. And, you know, if it wasn't for Andrew Bennett telling me I'm arrogant and giving me a little book that I didn't even want to read, if it wasn't for Carrie Storr, you know, allowing me to really focus on these things that she didn't have to, within my schedule and Con Ed and allowing me to kind of delve into some of these things outside of just clinic relative value units and metrics, you know, if it wasn't for, you know, Kelly organizing this thought process that had taken him so long and sharing it openly with people and allowing me to come and learn, you know, some of those things, from him and from his staff. And if it wasn't for Jeremy having those conversations with me, it's interesting to kind of look back and say, hey, where would you be? I would probably still be in the Army. I would probably be a major right now at some base that I don't want to be at most likely, you know, and just plugging away, waiting until I hit my 20 years in the Army where I could retire and then move on to something else. And I'm just very grateful that, yeah, I had these experiences and for you, and it's not necessarily about me. What I want you to really think about is what experiences have you had already that sound like this, you know, that are similar to these, that are something that maybe you think is kind of insignificant at the time, you know, just normal, just not anything that you're going to remember, but looking back, you know, years later, all of a sudden you realize, wow, that unfolded really interestingly. You know, that all sort of like meshed together in a way where look what happened now. And it happens to this day. Like we're still having interactions, experiences are occurring where, you know, we really are getting pushed or pulled one direction or another. And this idea of, you know, a compass or, you know, understanding where you're going, I don't think it's like that. You know, I think it's like, it's like going for a hike and not knowing where you're trying to end up. And there's different roads and paths you can take. And some of them are easy. Some of them are hard. Some of them are wrong. Some of them are right. And I think that the biggest thing you have to realize is all of these interactions for me, and this is what I've figured out about what motivates me. It's about momentum, period. I think that's the number one word that most of us as entrepreneurs can agree with, is this idea of momentum, being, you know, pushed forward, seeing change occur, chasing that change, chasing that progress, chasing the momentum of whatever is happening in your career, in your skill set, in your relationships. And when we don't have momentum, we feel like we're not going anywhere, even though we might be in a really good place. And not to say that we're sliding back, but we thrive off of that momentum. And it's, for me, that's helpful to know because, you know, when I previously, I would say even currently, you know, if I don't have a lot of momentum within what I'm doing, I'll start to feel a little frustrated. I'll start to get a little, you know, I don't know, just, I feel like I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. I feel like I'm missing something, and you can't have momentum all the time, but you know, you can build towards different things and be aware of that. And that's huge because you understand what makes you tick and what drives you. And you know, every interaction that I referenced, really, it was a huge momentum builder and push for me to then go a certain direction within a career field. And that's what I want you to be aware of. You know, this idea of interactions that seemingly are random things, right? But when you connect them together, they lead to this place that you're going, you know, and it's not fast, you know, it doesn't happen, overnight. You don't build a business overnight. You don't build a skill set overnight. And patience, I think, is one of those things that's challenging for everybody. I see it in a lot of younger clinicians. I see it in younger clinicians. I see it in my own staff members. I saw it in myself. I still see it in myself with working really hard on being patient. And looking back, it's just cool to anchor where you're at with what happened, and also who helped you get there, because nobody does it by themselves. We can have these, whatever, stories that we tell ourselves, like, you know, I'm a self-made man or woman. Like, I did everything myself. It's like, well, maybe your parents didn't give you $100,000 to start a business, but that doesn't mean that people didn't help you along the way. You just earned the right to be helped by showing that you were motivated and willing to put in the time and show up. And that's what people see. You know, that's what I see with people. If I go out of my way to help somebody, it's because I see something unique, something special, which is, you know, a work ethic, a desire to show up, a desire to just get better constantly. And that is incredibly easy to see and not see. So, you know, for those of you that are in it right now, focus on momentum, focus on driving towards the things that you're passionate about. And if you're not passionate about what you're doing right now, it's just a matter of time. I mean, eventually you're going to get to a point where you got to pull the plug on it. You got to do something else. But this is my path in terms of where I went first, thinking that I was going to be in the military, you know, for a 20-year career. That's what I thought I was going to do. Up until I decided to get out. So seven years later. So what you think you might do now, it may not be what you want to do, you know, in the next 5 years, and that's okay. And just focus on the things that you really, you know, that excites you, that you're passionate about, and that you can, that you can really, dive into and try to become phenomenal at, become best in the world at something. And that'll lead you down the path that's right for you, you know, and this is the right one for me. So I hope this helps. Again, big shout out to Shante. Thanks for the inspiration on this, and Jimmy McKay. And you should look at this yourself. Go back and think about interactions that you have or have had with professors or friends or mentors, or whatever, and see where you are now. And you know, be grateful for that, because those interactions are what mold you to where you are. You know, and at some point you're going to be, and I'll be in a position where I'll be one of those people that's having interactions with other people. You know, and they're changing their career path and what they do because of things that we do or say to them. And that's a pretty cool place to be. So, guys, I hope you like this one. I know this is, you know, a little long for me just to be talking, so hopefully I didn't lose too many of you. Anyway, this was one that I put some thought into, and hopefully you guys enjoy this. If you do, you know, take a screenshot of it, throw it up in Instagram stories, tag me in it. Let me know if you liked it, and we can do more like this, kind of looking at the journey and things of that nature going forward. So guys, as always, thanks so much for listening, and we'll catch you next time. You want more cash PT biz help? If so, go get a copy of my book, Fuck Insurance. It's your playbook to successful performance PT practice and never having to deal with insurance again. You can get a free copy at finsurancebook.com. That's finsurancebook.com. Inside this book, you'll learn the direct techniques that we have used to become one of the fastest 100% cash PT practices in the country.